straight from the science and into common sense, reviewing and understanding hormones and essential oils. Weekend oily tip, summarizing what we learned so far on hormonal health and essential oils. For the past few weeks, I've been on a bit of a mission to set the record straight regarding the misinformation and media hype that essential oils were endocrine disruptors. First in a two-part series, I reviewed all the caveats and pitfalls to the current headlines causing mass confusion to all essential oils lovers. This recent study was an in vitro experiment which isolated compounds extracted from tea tree and lavender essential oils and tested their effects on hormonal receptors and genetic transcription of human cancer cells. The researchers then generalized their results to what could happen in the human body using essential oils. This story of these essential oils' potential to cause gynecomastia, swelling of the breast tissue of boys, was a resurfacing of a prior misleading evidence. After working with essential oils for over 11 years in my practice and over 17 years with my team, I have not seen one single case of young boys growing boobs or any harmful hormonal effects. This unwelcome regurgitation, sorry for the visual, made me determined to dig deeper into support what I have witnessed. Please note that I'm a big advocate of essential oils being used as directed. If you're unsure how to use essential oils or are new, please review the information on a link with resources on my blog. In my attempt to provide the real story, I realize I may have bombarded you and overwhelmed your brain. I promised I'd be back with a summary of all this knowledge and some take-home points to help with assimilation and application. Here it is. The take-home points on assessing essential oils for hormonal impacts. There were 10 factors from my articles that I felt were imperative to consider with any study to determine if it's applicable to human beings in general and to you. Bottom lining it further, here's a condensed version of the take-home points. 1. Essential oils act differently in petri dishes than in living creatures, and many issues can bias in vitro studies and really any type of study. 2. Isolated compounds cannot be deemed to have the same effect in cells or humans as quality therapeutic essential oils. Individualized factors will determine how essential oils are absorbed, processed, and utilized by the body. This third point is known as the metabolic effects and the innate healing ability of essential oils. 4. True endocrine disruptors have been verified to have harmful effects in petri dishes and in rodents and associated with human disease risks. Essential oils have a record of being safe when used responsibly and producing positive effects in our rodent friends and human clinical trials. This week, I provided evidence of all 4 of these points with clary sage oil. First, I highlighted a study which showed clary sage did not raise salivary estrogen levels. Second, I reported on a study that measured how inhalation of clary sage could affect oxytocin levels in pregnant women, but different women had different effects. Clary sage oil was deemed safe in this trial. Coming up next week, I will provide more clinical trials that further support that there is no conclusive evidence that clary sage oil can manipulate estrogen receptors. However, there is evidence of balancing the body. This can result in impacting hormonal levels and modulating other endocrine effects. 3, I discussed how sclerol, a compound in clary sage oil, which is deemed to be the estrogen compound, has actually been shown to inhibit estrogen in human cancer cells. It is most likely not to be high enough in essential oils to truly affect estrogen levels. Essential oils assist with balancing the physical, biochemical, and emotional aspects of the individual. The synergy of different compounds and constituents present naturally makes it impossible to deem that one isolated synthetic compound will act the same in a living creature. So if you want more information on that, you can see an article that I linked to on the blog. Let's pause for a little coffee break as a comparison. You may have heard that recent chit-chat in California regarding that coffee shops must display a warning that their cup of joes may be carcinogenic. What? The concern for coffee causing harm in humans was based on a byproduct of coffee roasting, acrylamide, which is known as a cancer-causing chemical in rodents, and most likely in humans. However, this is only true in large amounts. According to researchers and experts, this warning contradicts science and evidence of the benefits of coffee in humans. Health Day reports, the judge's decision may follow the law, Lynchfield said, but it stands in opposition to the science on the subject. There is no good human evidence to show that the amount of acrylamide in coffee causes harm to people, Lynchfield said. In fact, the International Agency for Research on Cancer, part of the World Health Organization, found no conclusive evidence for a carcinogenic effect of drinking coffee, he noted. And in 2016, coffee was actually removed from the WHO list of cancer-causing agents, Linton added, meaning it's safe for human consumption. The 1986 California law behind the coffee shop ruling says that businesses must warn consumers about chemicals that cause significant cancer risk, but significant is a very elastic term open to wide interpretation, according to Litchfield. There's not enough evidence to suggest that acrylamide in coffee is something that would significantly increase one's risk for cancer, he said. Of course, reducing everyone's odds for cancer to zero would be wonderful, but there are issues that are much more pressing that have a known impact on human health, and I don't think acrylamide falls into that category. On the other hand, recent studies have supported coffee's potential health benefits, including reducing the risks of some cancers, he noted. Dietitian Samantha Heller agreed, pointing to evidence that a cup of Morning Joe might actually be good for you. There are many health benefits associated with drinking coffee, including a reduced risk of cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, and certain cancers, said Heller. Applying what we've learned. Seriously applying. First, remember not to be scared into sagas. Really use that brain to separate your knowledge of essential oils from the hype. Look at the study and ask, was it really using essential oils or isolates? Was it done in human? Was it following the proper use of the essential oil? Next, view the safety information and consider if you need to monitor medication interactions. For those monitoring hormonal levels specifically, such as those on hormonal replacement, birth control, or something, there's a lot of caveats to consider for testing, so don't just base everything on hormonal levels. Also consider symptoms and other lab monitoring beyond hormones if you go this route. It's important to keep in mind that anything that impacts liver biotransformation can impact hormones and metabolism. This ranges from lifestyle factors such as stress and exposures to food, nutrients, and supplements, not just essential oils. You may want to have your levels measured at baseline after using any intervention if you are being very cautious and need to stay in a narrow range. If you've been using essential oils and your medications for a while with no ill effects, there's probably nothing to be concerned about, as this is your baseline, so long as you are using them responsibly and open with your providers. Third, as this series proves, the science supports that essential oils will likely balance the system. There isn't evidence that clary sage acts as an estrogen or endocrine disruptor. As I've previously stated, usually a psychological action also has a physiological or biochemical impact on the body. For example, hormone support could be provided by calming emotions from inhalation, affecting stress hormones or enzymes, and providing direct physiological effects as a result of phytoestrogens modulating estrogen levels, possibly. What do I do? I personally like to use pre-made blends with my clients for hormonal issues. By balancing their stress and emotions, physiology, and biochemistry, there is a range of beneficial effects that can occur. I also urge women to look into emotional blends, which can impact their physiology and psychology and ultimately assist with hormonal modulation. I already discussed what a combination of a little hope oil and belief can do for fertility in the post that I provided a link to. Due to the fact that essential oils are a holistic mind-body tool, I've seen great results with overall wellness, not just hormonal symptom relief. What essential oils have you used or are going to try to help balance your whole body? What's your experience with using essential oils for hormonal health? Let me know with your comments to my post below, and I'll catch up with you again real soon.